radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapters 4 and 5. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. We're in Revelation chapter 4 today, and as we go here, you may recall that we have been studying this pretty much chapter by chapter, and I've tried to be very circumspect for you in the last two chapters because that's all you're going to get on the overall church age that's set before us in those two chapters. And I think that the last time we were together, when we were in chapter 3, we saw three churches, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. We concluded by mentioning that Laodicea represents the end of the church age, and it deals with the time when the people ruled in the church age. And so I encourage you to be thinking about not only that that is a very ominous thing that he says to that church, you're neither hot nor cold, therefore he says, I will spew you, I will vomit you out of my mouth. And he really, in essence, has a very unique take on that church altogether. We said something about the delight that was to be had in the Philadelphian period, which was probably representative of the 1700s and 1800s, where you had all these great awakenings, but there was no condemnation for them at all. Well, the sad reality is at the end of the church age, you have this dawning when we read through those last few verses about the Laodicean church age, and that is that there was no commendation to those people. None. He says, you think that you are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, but you don't know that you're poor and miserable, naked and blind. They didn't have any commendation. Think about that. So that's a real scary way to end it. And I think it's interesting to remind ourselves that the one thing he gave them, because they couldn't really hear him from where they were. So he gave, in essence, kind of an admonition to them. And he said this, whom I love, I chasten. Okay? If you're my child, if you're really my child, you've exploited grace to the point where you don't even know whether you're saved or not anymore. Well, I'll just tell you how you can see what the earmark of being saved is. It's whether you receive the chastening and discipline of God. Does he interrupt your experience sometimes and just get you back into the lane that you're supposed to be in? And if he doesn't ever do that, then that's a good indication that he is not your father. So as we turn the corner, we look at verse 1 of chapter 4, and the Bible says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Now, the reason I stressed at the outset there the words after this or after these things, it is a connective for us back to chapter 1. The divine outline of the book is in verse 19 of chapter 1, where the Bible says Jesus told John to write the things which you've seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. This divine outline sets before us three sections of this book. The first section is the things which you've seen. And he had just been talking in chapter 1 about how he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and he heard a voice speaking, and Jesus says, I am the Almighty. And then he sees him when he turns around, and he sees him arrayed in priestly garments, and he's walking among candlesticks, and he sees seven stars and seven candles, and he reveals himself to be who he is, the Almighty. Chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, I am the Almighty. And then he shows himself to him, and he sees the hair like wool and the eyes like fire and the feet like burnished brass and all of those things. It's a beautiful picture. Write the things which you've seen. So write that down, John. What happened to you, how it affected you, write that down. And the things which are. And the things which are placed before us in chapters 2 and 3, which is the church age. We saw that those churches represented the church in real time, because there were seven churches in real time. And then there were churches in every time, because there's always a suffering part of the body of Christ. And there's always a group that's fired up, like the Philadelphians were. And there's always people who've lost their first love. And there's room for admonition in every age from all of these churches. But we also suggested to you that we see in those seven churches the church across time. And so you see the things which you've seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The words hereafter are the words meta tota, the things after. And it says it twice in verse 1 of chapter 4. The words after this and the words hereafter are both meta tota. He says, metatata, I looked. After this, I looked. Okay, so now you got the things that are hereafter. What's going to happen when the church age has closed its final chapter? He says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be metatata hereafter. He says, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was like unto jasper to look upon, and sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. Now, I'm going to stop there because I need to drill into a couple of things. If you wanted to put a little star by a couple of things in this particular chapter, you could start with the word door in verse 1. The Bible says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Years ago, we used to go door to door talking to people about Jesus. I remember distinctly going to one door, knocked on the door. And back then, you didn't beat around the bush. You just said, hi, we're visiting from Faith Baptist Church. And we were just wondering, if you were to die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Most people would either talk to you or, you know, they'd have a conversation. They'd be polite back in those days. But one time I came to a door where the person said, well, there's no heaven in the Bible. You know, and I'm like, well, wait a minute. You know, and I didn't have all my words yet. I didn't have all my verses. Didn't know. But the Bible here says, I looked and behold, a door was opened where? In heaven. And what is it we pray? If I'd have just thought about it for a minute. Our Father which art in heaven. Okay, so there is a heaven and God's in it. And to be absent from the body is what? To be present with the Lord. So that means we're going to heaven if we know Jesus. That's right. Isn't that good to know? There's a place. It's a sweet place. And we're looking forward to a time when we're going to be there in perpetuity. The Bible says, no, there was a door opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter. Now, when it talks about come up hither, I want to just kind of drill into that for a minute. That word is an interesting word in its own right. It means to ascend, and it means to go up. But some of the places it's mentioned are pretty interesting. Chapter 10 and verse 6 of Romans, the Bible says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Again, heaven, Jesus is there, and we're saying coming back down. But the idea of ascending into heaven, come up hither. Come up hither. It's the idea of coming up. It's the idea. And then you see it connected deliberately with heaven. Ephesians 4:8 says the same thing. It's quoting Psalm 68. The Bible says, wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth on high, that he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. When he ascended. When he went back to heaven. And if you've read your Bible, we remember that day. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1 that while they beheld, he began to lift off of the Mount of Olives, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And so when you think about this cloud, what do you think of? Well, after years of studying it, it dawned on me one day that that's exactly what we see him riding upon when we're in Ezekiel chapter 1. He's riding upon the clouds. He goes to a canopy, and when Ezekiel saw it, it was pretty amazing. There's a whirlwind coming across the desert while he was there at the river Chebar, and when he saw the creatures, and then he went up above, and he saw, what did he see? He saw the same thing John saw in chapter 1. Eyes like fire, hair like wool, and so forth. And so I say to you that it's very interesting that he's saying that he heard a voice from heaven saying, come up hither. And it says, and immediately I was in the Spirit. The words come up hither, and it's in heaven, and he's in the Spirit. Immediately he's in the Spirit. It reminds us of those passages that we relish and we reflect upon routinely. 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We're going to be changed. We're not going to all sleep. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be raised with those that are dead in Christ, and we shall be changed as well. Verses 15 through 17 in 1 Thessalonians, the Bible says in chapter 4, it says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we, Paul speaking, he's including himself, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. How amazing is this, right? God is going to bring forth the dead in Christ first, then we which are alive and remain. And thus, when it talks about the last trump in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, you understand it's the last of the church age. It's going to be the last of the church age. Why? Because when you hear a trumpet, you'll see it referenced earlier in 1 Corinthians about if a trumpet gives an uncertain sound, how will people know how to react to that? No, this is that last trump of the church age. Why? Because the church age ends with the rapture. You see, not everybody is raised at the rapture. Only those who are what? Dead in Christ will be raised at the rapture. That's what he said. He said, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, who are part of that body as well, will be taken out of here. And so when he talks about this dead in Christ being raised and we who are alive and remain, we see a body of believers that are in view for the Apostle John. And so when you see those things, you can kind of get a little excited about what God is going to do. If you want a little more on that note, Matthew 24 talks about it this way in verse 27. It says, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Now, understand that this is not talking about the second coming in the when he comes to the Mount of Olives. You noticed, if you remember me reading it just a moment ago, verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians 4 says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet him in the air." So what he's doing in that moment and twinkle of an eye, he uses, like lightning fast, okay? What he's doing, what does he say it in 1 Corinthians? He says, in the moment and the twinkling of an eye, in Matthew 24, he says, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth to the west, even so shall the coming of the Son of Man be." He's talking about that quick moment where the church is out of here. And we connect that, as it were, to this passage before us in verse 1 of chapter 4 of Revelation. Matthew 24:31 says, "And he shall send his angels and gather with the sound of a great trumpet, and they shall be gathered, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." So when he says in verse 2, "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." The next word you want to put a little star by is first one's door. Second little star you want to make is by the word throne. Everything about this passage is caught up with the throne. We're in the throne room of Almighty God. This is where we've just been catapulted to. You may recall that Paul in Corinthians talked about being caught up into the third heaven and heard things which were not lawful for a man to utter. It seems that Paul was taken in vision to the very presence of God. And he had visions, and he said, "And therefore a thorn was given to me in my flesh, lest I be overly exalted by many revelations," and so forth. But he basically says, you want visions? He says, "I've been caught up into the third heaven." Well, we see here as well, John himself, the apostle, was also caught up there. And he's caught into the throne room of God, and this throne was set in heaven. And the Bible says, "And he that sat upon that," and that there was one that sat upon the throne, "and he that sat was to look upon like jasper and sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald." Now, he is a Jewish man, okay? This is John the Apostle. But if you were to go back and trace these particular stones that are referenced, like jasper and sardine and the emerald, you begin to realize there's something very profound going on here that a Jewish mind would react to very quickly.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.